sports, talent, and brands. Woo! This is the Sit Down, standing tall together.
Hi everyone, I'm Elaine Stenson and welcome to the Sit Down. This season of the podcast is proudly fueled by Killarney Coffee Roasters. Killarney Coffee Roasters was established in 2019, roasting the finest small batch specialty coffee in beautiful Killarney. As advocates for sustainability, their coffee bags are compostable and their labels are recyclable. Even better, their coffee is absolutely delicious and can be found at torquebrewing.ie. This season, we're focusing on the Irish Olympians, hoping to go for gold at the Tokyo Olympics 2021. Today's guest is Irish karate team member and iRadio host Cara O'Donovan. Following a stellar career in kickboxing, she transitioned to karate, winning numerous national championships and is the current senior karate national champion. This was an incredibly fun and insightful chat with one of Ireland's top athletes. Enjoy. So, Cara, how are you today? Good?
Yeah, I'm grand. Yeah, considering we're stuck in lockdown for this length of time, I'm holding up pretty good.
Thanks. Well, you're very welcome to the show. You were saying there you're very busy. Tell me what a day is like for you right now.
So it's different. Like, every day is different. So weekends are taken up with radio. So I've been able to get involved in presenting on radio. So I present a sports show at iRadio every weekend, and that's been so much fun to kind of to learn, I guess, and develop the show. So that's keeping me busy and gets me out. Like, it gets me out of the 5K restrictions, which is, like, I'm very lucky to do. I'm normally training as well. So we've got elite athlete exemptions. I think I have a broken toe at the minute, so I'm taking a couple of days rest. I kicked an elbow last week, which wasn't very smart. But anyway, on a typical day, I'd normally be training. Then I'm studying as well at the minute. So I'm doing it like an athlete transition program. It's like part work and then part study. And it tries to, I guess, prepare athletes for life after sport. So I'm doing that with the Dame Kelly Holmes Trust over in the UK. So we're on Zoom a lot. And then I'm studying with the University of Bath then on a kind of a coach and a mentoring thing. So stuff like that is keeping me busy.
Is that your plan for life after sport? I mean, would you go down the broadcasting route then if you have started a show? How long have you been doing the show?
So I'm kind of into the fourth month of it now. It did start earlier in 2020, but then, like, the lockdown came and that just put the show on hold, because it's the first sports show that iRadio have had. So then there was a bit of a break, like, last year, and then we got a, like, back up and running in, I think it was early November or late October. Anyway, I was delighted, so I jumped at the opportunity, and yeah, so that's something, like, I'm really enjoying. It's kind of like the same buzz as, like, competitive sport, because you're live and, like, it has to go right and you get one chance to do it. So it's kind of that same adrenaline rush that you get from competing at a world championships, where, like, you've got one fight and you've got to win or else, like, you're out. So it's the same kind of, it's the first things, I guess, in sport that I found is kind of as exciting and it's challenging and it's new. So yeah, I mean, that's probably the plan after sport.
Well, you seem to work well under pressure, Car, with that adrenaline, because you're a former world's European kickboxing champion. You've spent two decades representing the country in kickboxing, winning multiple World Cups during the time, and also a multiple national karate champion after switching sports. So, and now you're obviously preparing for the Olympics in Tokyo. How did you manage to do all of that, and how did you switch from kickboxing to karate?
Okay, so I guess I started kickboxing, or, like, I feel ancient now, because when I say how long it is ago since I started, you can probably guess my age. But I started in 98, so what's that like? Oh, it's just really long ago. So it was very random anyway how I got involved in it. There was just no other sports in Sligo for me at the time. So for girls in sport, there wasn't just as much opportunities. And then, like, it just turned out I was good at it. And then I got opportunities to represent Ireland. So I stuck with kickboxing for years. And like ever since I was five, I think I always wanted to go to the Olympics because you see the whole Olympic dream on TV. And that was something that I'd always hoped would happen for my sport in my lifetime. But as I got a little bit older, it became clearer that, look, this is never going to happen. And over the years, I didn't understand how a sport becomes an Olympic sport. There's just so much kind of politics and processes behind how it gets in. But I never really went into that. I was just thinking, oh, I'll get to go to the Olympics one day. So I switched sports then when karate got in after 2016. And I looked at a couple of YouTube videos of the sport and they didn't look, from our first glance, it didn't look that different. So I thought, like, I'll switch over, no problem here, and I'll go to the Olympics in that sport. So that's how I switched it. But I think it helped. Like, you know, the reason I guess I was good at sport and got a bit of success is that I loved it and I applied myself to it. So and a bit of luck as well, I think.
Well, what makes it even more interesting and impressive is that you're actually living with Crohn's disease, and you're an ambassador for the Irish Society of Colitis and Crohn's disease. So tell me about that, because you've had numerous surgeries, and has this been a hindrance to you as an athlete?
Yeah, it's been a definite hindrance. I mean, I look back and I know I've been successful in sport, but there's a part of me that just looks back at all the times that I didn't win and that I got beaten. And at the time, I didn't know I had Crohn's disease. So if I'm going back 10 years ago and I'm at a world championships and all of a sudden I just cannot perform, you know, I'm so ill. And at the time you put it down to, oh, you know, you just don't get your head right. But I know now that it's this, like living with this illness, it just it flares up whenever, usually it flares up when you least want it to, like, not that there's ever a good time for it, but like right before the final of a world championships, it just goes, hey, I'm back, like, to cause havoc. So it's definitely been a hindrance, but I've learned, like, since I got diagnosed, I guess the treatment and the management of it has been quite good. But I've also put winning and performing and playing sport into perspective. Like, the way I see it now is that if I get to play sports, even, you know, once or twice a year, I'm very lucky. And if it works out that Crohn's disease just decides to show up again, well, I just have to deal with it. Like, it's not like life or death. It's kind of put sport into a bit more perspective for me. But yeah, it's not an easy, I wouldn't wish anybody to live with this. It can be really challenging.
And how do you manage it? I mean, you said it gets worse, it kind of flares up at the worst times. Like, do you manage it with a certain type of a diet or nutrition or stress management or anything like that?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. So when I first got diagnosed, the main treatment was medication, and I still take medication. I think I had a year where I was medication free, and really that was just because I got notions and I thought I could cure myself, which, you know, I learned the hard way that, like, you can't do that. So I got off Google, I went back to my doctor and got medication for that. So that's one part of it, but definitely, like, stress management is a huge part of it. And I'd say I was probably the most stressed person you could find 6 years ago. Like, everything stressed me out, like, just, you know, like, I could make anything and turn it into a stressful situation. So I had to change my whole attitude to this stuff, and I still do get stressed, but nowhere near like what I used to be. And then diet is a small part of it for me. Like, there's, and it's different for everybody. Like, I know I can't eat Chinese food, which is a bit, like, disappointing because sometimes it's really nice. But, like, you know, I just had to accept that I can't have that. Whereas somebody else with Crohn's disease might have that, like, might be able to eat that no problem. So, yeah, it's all of that.
And you mentioned that, right, stress management. How do you manage your stress?
I'm going to get real, like, deep here now, but I do meditation as much as I can. Like, I try and start my day with that, and I find that really helpful. Even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes, it just kind of, it sort of clears your mind a little bit and gets you focused on what's important for the day. And then whenever I can, I try and do yoga. I mean, I'm really bad at it. Like, I'm brutal, but I love it. So I'll try and do, even here now during lockdown, I've been doing the yoga with Adrian. I don't know if you know her, but like, you know, I'm making an absolute hames of it, but I'm doing it every day, doing her 30-day challenges and stuff like that. So yeah, they help.
And how has lockdown affected you mentally? Because you have, you're an athlete, so you're used to exercising and getting, you're probably quite fit. So has that helped you with lockdown? And you mentioned you're quite busy as well.
I think the first lockdown was really tough. And I've seen a lot of people say that this, that like the third lockdown has been hardest for them. But for me, the first one was, without a doubt, it was the hardest, because everything, like I went from you know, just being out every day training, working, and all of that immediately stopped. Like everything was just shut down straight away. So as much as I had, like I was in Sligo, I was with my family for the first lockdown, so that was good, but mentally that really affected me. I was just not prepared for something like that. And it was the weirdest thing, because like in sport I've been injured, like I've been laid up with injury where I couldn't go, but there's always like a physical reason for it, whereas the first lockdown, like there was none. And I know it was hard for everybody. This most recent lockdown isn't probably as bad for me, because I'm getting to go back out. Like we are lucky enough that we get to train. It's very limited, like it's still very restrictive, and you know, you only go out when you have to. So I don't find this one, and maybe I've just found different ways to cope, but I'm not finding it, thankfully, as hard as the last one, or as the first one.
Okay, and you're extremely busy. You're a founding member of Global Athlete, which is a movement led by athletes for positive change across the world of sport, and you're an ambassador for equity sport. So tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so I got involved with Global Athlete first in 2019, they launched, and it was just completely, I guess, random how I even came across them. But we were having trouble in Irish Quaddy. There was a governance dispute, which is, in my experience, has been quite common. There's always kind of, I guess, political stuff going on in sport that as athletes, you're sometimes you're forced to kind of be put in the middle of situations. So we had that issue, I guess, ongoing, and Global Athletes were just about to launch at the time, and they opted to help us try and gather a bit of momentum and awareness around the campaign that we were having, and they helped us get involvement from the International Olympic Committee and the World Karate Federation. So once that all started, they invited me to join the startup group. It was just kind of getting itself formed, and I mean, I jumped at it because it was the first time in my sports that I'd found athletes who were kind of like-minded, as in that they understood some of the not so nice side of sport, and there was a bit of solidarity there. And I'd never felt that before. I'd always felt like I was somewhat of a troublemaker in sport and always completely on my own in that. So when I got the opportunity to join, I jumped at it, and it's been interesting. Like it hasn't, like some of the work we do, it tries to give athletes more of a say in sport, and to try and, I guess, improve conditions in sport for athletes. But it's not easy, and it's not something that has been, you know, welcomed, like change in any area. I guess people are always resistant to it. But yeah, I'm really enjoying being part of it. And then I guess equity sport is slightly different. I'm not as heavily involved, but I've been asked to be an ambassador for that. And they are trying to, I guess, bring about more equal opportunity for everyone in sport. And sometimes we think that we have it hard. Like I know myself, I've had issues in sport, but when I look at what it's like in the Global South and some of the very underdeveloped or poor nations, like their access to sports and different opportunities in sport is so, you know, is almost non-existent in some cases. So like I'm really happy to be involved in that charity and try and raise awareness of the work that they're doing.
And you mentioned that you come across difficulties with the Olympics and qualification and that kind of thing. What are the kind of difficulties or issues that you were finding along the way that you said that you finally found solidarity with other people about?
Yeah, so if I go back to when I was with kickboxing, I always felt, and maybe it's just my personality, but I always like to have kind of input into decisions that affect me. And I, from a very young age, I realized that, you know, that's not possible in sport. Certainly not the way the structures were. I mean, you're expected to just go in, train, do what you're told, stay quiet, perform, win, and then leave again. And I always found that difficult because I just felt like I should have some say in this. And I realized very young that if you open your mouth and you say, hang on, I don't agree with that, they won't like directly say anything to your face, and you think, oh, that's good, my input's been valued here. And then you realize you're getting punished really covertly, like all of a sudden you're not selected for teams, and all of a sudden training's been scheduled at days that they know you're going to be on holidays, so therefore you can't make different criteria. And that was constant. Or you'd see just unfair treatment of other athletes. Just, I mean, I got privileges because I was good, so I was actually treated better than some of the other athletes. So that always bothered me. And when I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, I remember being in hospital. I was really ill, and I wasn't able to make a, I think it was a fight off day for team selection. And I wrote to the governing body of the sport, and they just ignored it. And I found out on Facebook while I was in hospital that somebody else had got my place on the team. So it was just how it was managed. And I just feel like if they had more dialogue and more communication, that, you know, things like that just wouldn't happen. And I think it would be better for the sport. So those are just like some of the, I mean, maybe they seem trivial to some people, but they were important to me. And I just see issues like funding now, like, you know, so many sports don't get funded. And I'm always asking the question, why is that? Like, they're performing really well, but I never get an answer. And it's always because like certain sports have just been funded since funding was came into existence, and nothing ever changes. So say if you're a martial artist, or if you're in any of the sports that haven't made the cut just yet, there's no pathway for you to go in and get funded. And that's always been my issue. But it's so I guess, yeah, the solidarity is that I finally kind of met athletes who just agreed with me and were willing to stand up and say that. And I just thought, well, this is amazing. This is the first time I've ever met this kind of stuff. So
would you be like calling on Ireland to put more money in and more efforts and facilities for athletes like yourself? Tell me what it's like when you don't have the same facilities as people, for example, in the UK or another country.
Well, yeah, I mean, firstly, absolutely, I'd be calling on Sport Ireland to do that. And I have done that for 20 years and I've got absolutely nowhere. It's kind of like a bit of triangulation going on. They just say, well, look, this isn't our problem. Go to your national federation. Then you go to your national federation and they say, oh, we go to Sport Ireland. So you're just constantly bounced around between different people. But I guess like facility wise, it's quite poor. Like I've never had access to a changing room. Never had access to a shower. And like, especially now in, you know, in 2021, you would just think that things would get better. And sometimes I feel bad saying this because I think then, you know, the people that train me would take this as criticism of them, but it's not a criticism of them. It's more just to say that there's a two-tier sport system, that athletes who are allowed, let's just say, train in the National Sports Campus, whereas state-of-the-art facilities, they get access to great equipment. And then the rest of us that don't have that access, like there is no designated national training center for martial arts or for a lot of sports. So that's difficult. And I just don't see how it's justified that it's fair, or why there's no real will to improve that. And so that's kind of some of the stuff that I'd love to see change.
Yeah, you know, the government give 20 million euro to greyhound racing.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And I mean, I'm kind of very frustrated really with how the government funds sports. I think a lot of it is political rather than what's fair and what's equitable. And I don't think that there is equal opportunity for every sport and for every athlete. And when you see stuff like that, and, you know, I'm not an expert on greyhound racing or on any other sport. And one of the things that I'm always wary of is that when I complain and say, oh, you know, our sport deserves a look in, and what about our athletes, that they try and twist it a little bit to say, well, are you saying then that this sport shouldn't and these athletes shouldn't get funded? And I'm never saying that. Like, I think the worst thing that can happen is to try and put athletes against each other and put sports against each other. But I do think that there should be like a fairer opportunity and a clear and transparent like way to that every child, let's just say, that goes into sports, they know that they have an equal chance to be treated fairly. And at the minute in this country, that's just not the case.
So what sports do you think that need to be promoted? Obviously, yourself with karate. So what other sports would you be calling on the government to support and Sport Ireland to kind of invest a bit more into?
Well, I think any sport that they decide to recognize as a governing body, and there's over 60 of them, but the amount of them that are funded sufficiently is, I mean, it's appallingly low. So I think that if Sport Ireland, like, obviously I'm going to be biased in some ways and I try and remove myself from it because I'm very passionate about martial artists and kickboxing and karate. And I've seen the standard of, like, if when we talk specifically high performance, I've seen the standard in those sports are really high, but they're not recognized, you know, they're not kind of rewarded in that. So obviously I'm going to push my own sport, but I don't want it to just be about that. I just want every single, all those 60 plus governing bodies, they should all be aware that there is a pathway to say that if you perform, and I'm specifically talking about high performance, not so much like the grassroots is a whole other discussion, but with high performance, that there should be a very like clear way to say that, you know, if you do what somebody does in athletics, you're going to get rewarded the same way. And at the minute, I can be world champion and somebody else can finish top 20 in a different sport, and the top 20 finish will get 20 grand a year, for example, and the world champion doesn't get anything. So I would just like them to tell me, like, why this, they're not kind of treated the same, I guess.
And have you come across gender inequality in sports? Do you feel like your male colleagues would, or counterparts would be treated, have better opportunities than you?
I would definitely say in martial arts, there's, like, in my experience anyway, there's definitely been gender equality issues. Like, for example, prize money in kickboxing has always been, for women, has been a fraction of what it was for men. And again, when I'd raised the issue, I got punished for that. So it's like, it was now because it's become an Olympic sport, it has changed, thankfully. So now people coming through the sports, they'll have access, and when they compete and they win, they know they're getting the same prize as their male counterparts. So that was one issue that always bothered me. Female representation on kind of committees and boards and decision making is far lower in martial arts than it is, you know, than men. Like, it's an old man's club. It's run by old men. It's not to say that there's anything wrong with them, but why not have a bit of balance? And I don't just mean gender. I mean just different diverse backgrounds. There should be more kind of representation. When it comes to funding in Ireland, there's no difference really, because we're, like, as a sport, we're all just literally told we're not good enough.
Listen, what about, I'll move on to, I want to talk about COVID for a second and lockdown. And I know we've already touched on lockdown, but a lot of sports have been cancelled because of it. What's that like as an athlete, you know, that the Olympics, they may not go ahead, or they didn't go ahead last year? And sometimes elite sports are allowed to go ahead, like Premiership football and men's rugby and different ones like that. How do you find it as an athlete?
It's like, it is hard, and you're trying to like talk about this in the overall context of, like, you know, a global pandemic. So sometimes when you're saying, oh, this is really hard and I wish I could get to compete, you just feel like a spoiled brat, because, you know, there is so much bigger things going on in the world than you and your sport. But I mean, put that aside for a while, I guess when you look at the professional sports, they're obviously in a very different scenario, because they can, you know, they have so much more money, and players are paid to do this so that they can, you know, stay in bubbles and or whatever they need to do to play. So that those competitions and games seem to be going really well. My sport has been hugely affected. It's almost a year since I competed, and it's the hard, like last this time, say, or March last year, we knew we weren't going to compete for a while. Everything was cancelled kind of for quite a significant like time stretch. But then this year it looked like we were going to get back competing. So I was due to go to Lisbon in 2 weeks' time. Then that got cancelled. And so you're kind of preparing, training away, and you think you've got a goal in mind, and the next thing it's cancelled. And that just keeps happening month after month. And I know like it's obviously be like a safety concern, which is obviously important, and you have to go by that, but it still is challenging enough. I think with the Olympics, I wish we'd get a bit more information. Now, I do understand that they probably don't know that much, but there's huge confidence in the IOC to run the Olympics, and it would be lovely as an athlete to know how they get their confidence, because right now it's like all you hear is that we're confident, and you don't hear any actual specifics of logistics of health and safety. And like, I'd be a high risk athlete with the medication I take. I certainly don't want to take my own chances by going over to an event that's not going to be safe, and I certainly don't want to be the cause of an outbreak going into another country or another city, because sometimes, you know, if an event isn't run safely, it could be a super spreader event. So there's loads of kind of question marks around that, and I think some athletes are concerned, but I do think, like, and myself included, I think every athlete would love the Olympics to go ahead if it can be done safely. So I'm still crossing all my fingers to see if it happens.
Okay, and look, I want to talk to you about sponsorship, because obviously Sport Endorse is a sponsorship and branding agency, and for athletes to succeed at an elite level, how important is sponsorship?
I think it's huge. I mean, it's an area that I've personally struggled with. I think a lot of it to do with the profile of my sport. There probably isn't the same rewards in karate or kickboxing for, you know, for a sponsor than you'd get in some of the really high profiles like football and, you know, rugby or whatever the different sports would be. But it is massively important, because it's so expensive to be the world's best, because you've got to travel and compete all the time. So in my sport, for example, if I want to be ranked in the top, even the ranked in the top 10 in the world, I have to compete on every continent, like every month of the year. So every time you travel away to competition, you can't work. So you're kind of losing a double income. You're spending money traveling, you're spending money to compete, and then you're losing money that you can't work. And especially in a sport that isn't funded, without kind of sponsorship, it's almost next to impossible. So I think it's probably one of the most important areas for athletes after their talent and hard work. Like the sponsorship is huge. Like it's absolutely massive.
And I see there's a list of your favorite five brands. Do you know your favorite five brands, or?
I can't remember what I said, but I know Lion's Tee is on there for sure.
Adidas, Under Armour, Alpro and Opal and Lion's Tee. I hear you're a massive tea fan.
Like obsessed with tea. I mean, it's probably an unhealthy obsession, but I even have one here. I love Lion's Tee as well. I mean, I know it's all lovely, but like they're my favorite. I'm a tea junkie for sure.
If anyone's listening from Lion's Tee, we have
I think I keep them in business. I swear I buy that much tea.
And how do you relax? I mean, you have a lot on. I mean, I'm kind of taken aback by your obviously have done everything with your world's European kickboxing, national karate champion after switching sports. You're living with Crohn's disease. You're an ambassador for the Irish Society of Colitis and Crohn's disease. And you're a founding member of Global Athlete. and ambassador for Equity Sport. I mean, you're also a radio presenter. I'm getting dizzy on this sports show called iScore and iRadio. And you're an athlete mentor for organizations such as Sports for Schools and the Dame Kelly Holmes Trust. Like, do you ever get a minute, or like, is your life totally crazy, like running around doing all these things?
It's definitely quieter now in the lockdown. I would say my training load is like halved. So I definitely have evenings where like I'm not really doing anything. And I find that difficult, actually. I find that I'm probably just so used to constantly going that when I do like have nothing to do, I find that weird. But I don't know. I also didn't think I was like that busy. Like I see some of my friends and they're just busier, and I'm like, okay, well maybe I'm not like doing enough or that. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoy everything I do, so I don't really feel like it's a burden. And I feel like, you know, and at the minute I feel like I'm lucky to be busy. How do I relax normally? Like if there wasn't that many restrictions, like I'll just meet friends, and I love having friends outside of sport, which is like, it's no offense to my friends in the sport, I love them as well, but sometimes it's nice to just switch off from it all. And like I'd have friends that have just no interest in my sport, and it's great because they never ask me anything, and it's just great to just switch off from it as well. And okay. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, well, you're extremely busy anyway. And longer term, what are your aspirations in the long term? First of all, what are your aspirations for this summer? Tell me how you feel like you could do.
I think if I can get if the Olympics go ahead and the qualification, because like I still have to qualify, our qualification event isn't till June of this year, and I think that's the big question mark, if that will go ahead or whether they'll just scrap that and then go off ranking. But if I can qualify for the Olympic Games, because there's such a small number that can qualify in my weight category, I'd be absolutely aiming for a medal. And I think the hardest part for me will be to qualify. So that'd be my goal, all going to plan. But I think if the Olympics don't happen, I'm really kind of in no man's land. I just don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know whether, look, I should accept that I'm past it now, I'm getting too old and I should just stop, or whether I should go for another few years. I don't know. So, but I mean, right now the goal is the Olympics, please happen.
Of course. Well, we really hope it happens, and we hope to see you out there, of course, and we'll be watching. And long term, what would you, do you have any sort of career plan for after, or are you going to continue? I mean, you seem like you're going to probably go into teaching and mentoring and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking at loads of different options. I know one area for sure that I definitely won't be going into, and that's like the national governing bodies of sport. Like that's because I studied sport in college and I did work for a while in them, and it just wasn't the career path for me. Like, so I think I think like part of the good thing of this athlete transition program that I'm working on is that they have so many different options, and they kind of they mentor you as an athlete as well to kind of decide what you want to do and try out different things. So, but I do like the mentoring. I still like maybe working in sport, and then the broadcasting is a whole new area, and so I'm gonna probably dabble in a few areas. But it's so hard to plan ahead, like, isn't it, with the pandemic and everything? You just don't know what's going to happen. But those areas are.
Why did you decide it wasn't for you to go to work for the governing body or anything like that? You could make change. There, I'm guessing what you really want to do.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I felt from working there, is that I couldn't actually make an impact. And I mean, there was, I don't want to name the sports that I worked with because there's some brilliant people in there, but I just felt like there's just so much dogma, or, you know, this is just the way things have always been done. And, you know, I think any innovation wasn't really that well received, and maybe I just didn't give it enough time. You know, I didn't work for, you know, decades or anything in the sports industry or the sports governing bodies, but I just did feel that there wasn't really that, you know, there was a great will to pretend that everything was great, but there wasn't necessarily the will to actually make meaningful change in sport. And I feel that maybe more from an activism or like a lobbying role, sometimes that could make a bigger difference. And I see the work the media are doing. I mean, they're doing an incredible job in actually forcing change or demanding change. And so maybe that's kind of a different direction I could look at.
Okay, well, Cara, I think that's really exciting. And we'll leave it there, Cara O'Donovan, our force for change, hopefully. And hopefully see you in action in the Olympics in Tokyo this summer. Thank you so much.
Thanks a million for having me. It's been great chatting to you.
And that is all for this week. Thanks once again to Cara and to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. And thank you once again to our sponsors, Killarney Coffee Roasters. And if you're interested in partnering with any of our talent, you can find us on platform.sportindoors or download the app through the Apple Store or Google Play. You can follow us, Sportindoors, on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And until next time, take care.
Sports, talent and brands.